Look at Job chapter number 15. Job chapter number 15. Let's look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us?" I want to speak for a little while on this subject. Can a person counsel his peer? Can a person counsel his peer? The word peer we might consider a companion, one of the same rank, one equal in employment, endowments, and experience. A peer, especially this idea of an equal. Can a person counsel his peer? I preached earlier on the subject, Job awaiting his change. And I believe the Old Testament saints are still awaiting their change. In fact, I believe that I shall be changed. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you shall be changed before they're changed. But then finally we'll all be changed and we'll be together in glorified bodies. In this particular chapter, we have Eliphaz, one of the three friends, or Eliphaz, speaking. And this is the second time that Eliphaz spake, at least as far as what we have recorded. Of course, you look into the scriptures before this and after this, you have these opinions being thrown around. In fact, chapters 3 through 37, great majority of the book is made up of the opinions of men being spoken one to another, and there's truth interwoven with falsehood, and that's the way opinions can be. There can be good and bad as well in a situation like that, but you might imagine as well, God Almighty, God that knows all, omniscient, God looking down upon men as they throw their opinions back and forth, and as the attacks were going on against Job, and as Job was trying to defend himself and explain himself and taking a few jabs at them as well, imagine God Almighty in heaven looking down upon all of this, seeing all that was going on, and finally speaking up toward the end of the book. Eliphaz began speaking, and the Bible says, beginning with verse number 1 of chapter 15, "Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches wherewith he can do no good?" Now here we have these questions. In fact, there are three questions here, and I believe that there's an obvious intent. There's the intent to bring Job under conviction, and I believe there was a desire to bring Job to a point of confession that he had done wrong. The obvious answer, of course, to all three of the questions is no. And then beginning with verse number 4, in fact, verses 4 through 6, we have accusations against Job. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee." Perhaps it would have been wise for Eliphaz to apply those words to himself. Because I believe that Eliphaz spoke words that condemned him. I believe he said some things that were wrong. And because of things that he said that were wrong, his own words could be used to testify against him and shall be used to testify against him. Then in verses 7 through 9, there are more questions for Job. There are a number of questions for Job. And then in verse number 10, we have a statement. In chapter 15, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "With us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father." In the book of Job, chapter number 32, and beginning with verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, and Elihu answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, they should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. I think perhaps that the three friends of Job were actually all three older than Job. It might have been because of the wise actions of Job that Job had won these three friends, these men that were older than him. And I suspect that before all of this happened, they may have seemed to have been much alike. And I think that Elihu was probably younger than Job. And so the Bible says there, and I think this may have been a reason for what is said in verse number 10, with us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father. And so I think that those three friends may have been all older than the father of Job. Then in verses 11 through verse number 14, there are seven more questions for Job. And of course, I believe there was a desire to bring Job under conviction. One of the ways you might do that sometimes is by asking questions, but to bring Job under conviction, and I believe that the one thing that could have satisfied the three friends and Elihu as well is if Job had confessed, yes, I sin, and because I sin, all of these things have come upon me. Now let's go back to verse number 9. What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? And Job chapter number 13 and verse number 2, we have these words. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior to you. That's the words of Job. Then in chapter number 13 and verse number 5, oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Then notice, if you will, ahead in chapter number 16, and beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. And then in verse number 4, I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. Can a man counsel his peer? One of the things that can be hard, if a person especially is resistant to counsel, is a person may say, well, I know what you know. I can say the same things that you say, and I can quote the same verses that you quote. And the fact is, sometimes it may very well be true. And so we might ask ourselves the question, can a man counsel his peer? Let me start out by saying this. First of all, yes, sometimes. The fact is that oftentimes God uses our peers to help us. That is one of the tremendous, tremendous benefits of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Even though we may say, well, I got something out of the teaching of the Word of God, and I got something out of the singing, and I got something out of the preaching of the Word of God, sometimes you may have something that you very much needed through the fellowship with the brethren. God knew exactly what He was doing when He called on the church to gather themselves together. And sometimes the fellowship with one of the brethren may give you something that the preacher does not give you. It might be that God lines it all up so that you'll get something that you need for a problem that is to come through the fellowship with the brethren. It is true that we need counsel. Sometimes people may act as though they need no counsel from anyone. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15 and verse number 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs chapter number 20 and verse number 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's a need for counsel. It is true that we may go to a multitude of counselors to receive the counsel that we need. We may receive a variety of counsel. We may receive counsel good and bad from that multitude. Of course, if you hear from a multitude, you may surely get a mixture of counsel. But in the midst of all that, God may lead you to the very counsel that you need. Think about the counsel being in the heart of a wise man, like deep water. And think about a man waiting for, as it might be said, and searching for, trying to get from that individual the counsel that he needs. I do believe that sometimes a wise man might not be very forthcoming in giving counsel. A wise man may be very careful about not casting his pearls before swine. A wise man, through experience, may have realized that oftentimes people, they don't want counsel. They may want a stamp of approval, but they really don't want counsel. And sometimes a wise man may be one, it's like water deep within him, and you've got to draw it out of him to get the counsel that you need. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 24 and verse number 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And so we might think of success through counsel, safety through counsel. Let me warn you here, and I mentioned a peer. There is a danger that we may go to our peers to get counsel and find that our peers merely agree with us because we are like-minded sometimes. And sometimes there might be several of us that are in agreement, and so when we go to them for counsel, they may all agree with us and pat us on the back and say, "You're going the right way," when really we did not get the counsel that we needed. So there is certainly a danger there. The Bible talks about a multitude of counselors. You might think about a person getting outside of a little group of people that he's in agreement with and actually asking some people that are wiser than they, and through that receiving the proper counsel that he needs. Can a man counsel his peer? Yes, sometimes. Good counsel is often a timely reminder. Notice that word, reminder. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." The fact is, when you come to church on Sundays, so often, so much of the time, you really may not receive anything new. But what you may get is reminders. Reminders. I think a large part of the pastor's job is providing timely reminders. As he is led by God to preach on things that the people already know about, he knows them, they know them. But to give that timely reminder. And sometimes that can make so much difference when a person perhaps is right on the verge of a trial and receives a timely reminder, and therefore it's fresh on his mind what he needs to do. The Apostle Peter, imagine him. He was not going to be negligent to put the people in remembrance of those things, though they knew them and were established in the present truth. Imagine Peter purposing his heart to continue on as long as he was in his tabernacle, as long as he was in his body, to keep reminding the people. And the Bible also says in 2 Peter 1:15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Of course, God's had me here for a number of years. And of course, one of these days I'm not going to be here. And if God takes me away, I hope you forget a lot of things. But I think it would be a blessing if there were a few things, profitable things and good things that you still remembered. Things that have been driven so deeply in your soul that even if God takes me away, they are there. They are settled in your heart. The timely reminders, we so much need them. Good counsel is so often a timely reminder. You might say, well, I know what you know, and I can say the same things that you say. And yet, when God wants the proper counsel, then God may stir the person that is to give the proper counsel at the proper time. Even though both of those, the giver and the recipient, know the same thing. Then secondly, good counsel is a gift from God. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." You read the chapter 50, I think you might agree that that is a messianic prophecy where Jesus Christ says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned." And the reason that I should know how to speak a word in season. Notice he said as well, "The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And so imagine God the Father speaking to God the Son, awakening, as it might be said, his ear, and speaking to him the things that he needed to say to others. And you and I, by the grace of God, can be recipients of messages from God that God would have us to give to other people. God can teach us to have the right timing in what we say, and the right tone in what we say. God can stir our tongues so that we say what we should when we should. The wording here, the Bible says that I should know how to speak, tone. It's not just what you say sometimes, it's how you say it. But how to speak, and also a word in season, time, a word in season. You may give the same word at another season and it be ineffective. But then if God is leading you and you give that word in due season, that's a good thing. Good counsel is a gift from God. Counselor should not rebel against the counsel that God gives him to give to others. And sometimes in counseling, a counselor may need to say some things that are not very pleasant, that the recipient really doesn't want to hear. And yet he is not to be rebellious, neither turn away back. As I believe Jesus was never rebellious and never turned away back from what God would have him to say. The Lord knew the trouble it would stir when he said things like, "My Father." The Lord knew it would stir people up and people would oppose him so much. And yet Jesus Christ just said what God would have him to say. He just said what God would have him to say. He did exactly what God would have him to do. You know what one of the names of Christ is? Counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace. He's a counselor. He is the counselor.
That's right.
Always counseled perfectly. Then let me say as well, God chooses to whom to give good counsel through. That gift of God, good counsel, is given by God to those whom He would have give that counsel. We have the messages in the morning during Sunday school time. And God may lay something upon Charlie's heart and say, I want you to give this. And God lays something upon Adam's heart, I want you to give this. And God lays something upon my heart. And God can work through different ones. And not only through the preaching, but also through other things. God can just give what needs to be given. Give what needs to be given. At the right time. Now, thank the Lord for the fact that God does choose to give good counsel through His children. We might consider that this God choosing who to give good counsel through can, number one, reveal true wisdom. The Bible talks about Daniel. And of course, to many, Daniel just may have been another one of those Hebrew children. Now, he did purpose in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. And he did excel. He and the three Hebrew children did excel. But still, in a multitude of people in that great kingdom, he may have been another one of those captives, another one of those Jewish children, those Hebrew children. And yet there came a time in which Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar not only did not know the interpretation of the dream, he didn't even remember the dream. And so the experts failed. The magicians and the astrologers, they failed. And Daniel, God gave the answer to Daniel. And by Daniel giving that answer, it revealed the fact that he had true wisdom. Now, those others were supposed to have been wise men. But there was a wise man in the council or in the kingdom named Daniel, and God gave him the word in due season. In fact, the Bible tells us that Daniel stated, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Daniel chapter number 2 and verse 28, he said, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But of course, God gave it to him. That made Daniel, and that made the three Hebrew children to stand out among the others. It might be that God will choose someone to give some wisdom, to give some guidance, to give to you. There might be someone that you just never have thought a whole lot about them being very spiritual, or maybe you never thought much about them being very close to God, but God may choose to give them something. Through the Word, God may give them something that they can pass on to you at just the right time that you need it. Something you don't get from the pulpit, but something that God uses them to give. And that may open your eyes to the fact that there is something there. They have wisdom. They have been walking with God. In the case of Daniel, I believe the fact that there was this revelation that helped to set him and, of course, helped the three Hebrew children apart. We might think of it as number two, to establish leadership. Sometimes God may give counsel to one because God is establishing that individual in leadership. The children of Israel came to the Red Sea. Of course, Moses had been the leader, and the people had rebelled against Moses and against God. And finally, under Joshua, they came to the Red Sea. And God used that situation to establish Joshua as a leader of the people of Israel. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And sometimes God, when He wants to establish a person as a leader in some way, God may give that individual counsel to pass on to someone else. It's interesting to me God was going to begin to magnify Joshua. They crossed the Red Sea, and the Bible tells us that God did magnify him, and the people feared Joshua the rest of his life. God established him as the leader in the place of Moses. Look in the Scripture. What about Joseph? How did God establish Joseph as a leader? Well, he gave him an interpretation of a dream and so on. How did God establish Daniel? How did God establish David? By giving them things from God, by giving them things that they could use to lead people or they could use to counsel people, God established them as leaders. Good counsel is a gift from God. And in God choosing who to give that through, sometimes He establishes someone as a leader. He reveals wisdom in the heart. And then number three, sometimes He uses it to smite a proud heart. I remember years ago, hadn't been saved very long, and the church I was in, the group I was in at that particular time, to be honest with you, I probably didn't think that there was a whole lot of spirituality there. Then in addition to that, I think by that time I come to the point where I felt like I had a pretty good handle on the Bible. And in one particular service, one particular time, I think it was three people said something that just impressed me, that they knew that they said that. They brought that out of the Bible. I think the Lord might have done that just to show me, you don't know so much anyway. Maybe you think you're far along, but really you don't know all that much. Sometimes God may choose someone to give you a word of counsel that you would not expect it from, but it may be rich, it may be deep, it may be timely, it might be just exactly what you need. And it might be to humble you. Now, can a man counsel a peer? Yes, sometimes. And then, sometimes not. Sometimes a man may disqualify himself from being a good counselor. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You might have even had a reputation of being wise. But if you get involved in foolish things, it may cause your reputation to be disregarded. It may cause your counsel to be rejected. And it may be that you cannot counsel a peer because of the flies in the ointment, so to speak. Then number two, sometimes a man may not be able to counsel a peer because he is just simply not God's choice to give the counsel. You remember Absalom was killed and Ahimaaz, he wanted to run. And he pled with Joab about running. And he really didn't have a message prepared, but he wanted to run. He had another man there. There's another man there that was to take the message. Well, Joab finally let him run. Well, Ahimaaz so ran that he outran the messenger that had the message. And Ahimaaz arrived at David, and then he didn't have the message. And David had him turn aside. And then the one that had the real message showed up and told David about his son, and David was much moved. Some people may think of themselves as counselors. Some people may so much want to counsel, but it may be that God doesn't want them to give counsel. or give counsel at a particular time. It might be they've ruined their reputation by flies in the ointment, foolishness, or it might be, on the other hand, it's just not the time for them to give counsel. He wants a real messenger to come with a message from Him. And so sometimes it just may not be the time for you to give counsel to a peer. And then let me say as well, sometimes the counselor or the would-be counselor might be rejected by one that is in need of counsel. The fact is, sometimes a person that really needs counsel just may refuse to hear counsel from an individual. It might be that you've got something that would help them, but they won't hear you. And maybe they've got this attitude, I know what you know, and I can say the same things you say. And they just refuse to hear the counsel that even God would have for them. Can a man counsel his peer? Yes, sometimes, and sometimes not. Don't you think that it would be a great thing to fulfill the same role? And I know we're not equal, but to fulfill the same role that Jesus fulfilled. Don't you think it would be a wonderful thing if you and I, saved by the grace of God, and male or female, in our spheres that we should operate in, don't you think it would be a wonderful thing if we'd receive a message from God, and God laid on our heart, now you give this to so-and-so. Maybe that person has sorrow, and they need something. You give this to them. And that person needs a reproof. Well, you give this to them. And that person over there needs some guidance. You give that to them. It would be good if all of us are open to hear from God. And I realize some people may get some odd ideas. I'm not just talking about people in the flesh. I got a word from God and saying things off the wall. But especially God giving you a scripture, God giving you something that someone needs at the right time, what a wonderful thing to be used that way. If you will, please stand.